The University of Maryland Farmers Market can be found weekly at Taws Plaza. There are an abundance of producer-only vendors and a cooking demonstration, with free samples hosted every week at noon. You can find everything from fresh bread, locally grown produce, popcorn, to lip balm, and local animal products. The market runs every Wednesday, rain or shine, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. during the spring season from April to May and fall season from August to November.
Good evening. You're listening to WMUC Radio News' weekly roundup for March 9th, 2026 on WMUC FM College. I'm Sam Burns.
And I'm Danny Chungafung. Tonight we'll say our goodbyes to the snow, see what soon-to-be graduates are thinking about the job market, and more.
But first, as the war between the United States and Israel and Iran enters its second week, student groups on campus are processing their feelings about the conflict. WMUC News' Kate Heiderman has more.
Students are experiencing a mixture of emotions. What we feel reflects the complexity of what is happening in our country.
Parham Rezai, a board member of the Iranian Graduate Student Foundation, shared the impact the war is having on Iranian students at the University of Maryland.
At the same time that we feel happiness, we also feel worry. Along with college, we also feel fear. Many of us are thinking about our families, our friends, and the future of our country.
Rezai is just one of the many students on campus who have family and friends living in the Middle East during the war. Uriel Appel, president of Students Supporting Israel, said his loved ones in Israel have homes and workplaces that were destroyed in the missile strikes. He also reflected on his own identity as an Israeli-American.
Right now I'm seeing two countries that represent me doing everything in their power to fight against the radical Islamic ideology of jihad and fighting back against terrorism.
The death of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, has brought a new wave of hope to Iranians.
Many Iranian students feel a sense of hope that the world is finally paying attention and standing with Iranian people in their desire for freedom, dignity, and basic human rights.
Rezai also emphasized the importance of global support for Iran and its citizens' fight for freedom.
People understand that gaining freedom has always requires sacrifice, and they are willing to pay the price.
This feeling is echoed by Appel, who shared his perspective on peace between Israel and Iran.
I do not want peace with Iran until I know that the Iranian people are safe. I don't want peace until I know that my grandparents aren't panicking in a safe room.
Rezai and Appel emphasized the growing support between Iranian and Israeli students on campus.
For many of us, it is deeply meaningful to feel that we are not alone and that the others care about the future of our country.
Appel shared how Jewish and Israeli students have made efforts to support Iranian community events.
There has been this new thankfulness and gratitude from them to us and from us to them.
Appel encourages students who are interested in discussing the ongoing conflict to attend SSI tabling events.
We feel like the best way to diffuse the situation is by talking to one another.
Both communities are experiencing an underlying feeling of hope as they navigate the ongoing war.
There's a feeling of hope now. The things are going to be different, and maybe the Middle East is not going to be so complicated anymore. Maybe we can make the Middle East simple because the world is done with terror.
For WMUC News, I'm Kate Heiderman.
Thanks, Kate. As the semester transitions from winter to spring, instruction at Prince George's County Schools has been disrupted by a mix of turbulent weather. Now students are grappling with the effects on their classes. WMUC News' Jamie Donahue has the story.
It's known to be kind of crazy, but the last couple of weeks have really taken the cake.
Out of nowhere, it got really cold and snowed on the same day. I just kind of had to stay in my dorm.
That was Hadassah, a freshman at the University of Maryland, expressing an opinion many Prince George's County residents share, that the weather has been widely disruptive, especially to schools. Said New York Mayor Zoran Mamdani in February, the Northeast United States withstood a historic snowstorm in late January, reaching 3 feet in some places and disrupting the lives of countless Americans. According to the National Weather Service, Prince George's County received about 11.7 total inches of snow in the last week of January, Ice and low temperatures maintained 7 inches of snow depth into mid-February. The area also received another 2 inches the week of February 23rd, and yet another inch of snow last week. Because of the weather, Prince George's County Public Schools were closed for snow in late January, losing 7 days in total. The University of Maryland lost 5. The cancellations have some UMD students worried. Many professors have had to accelerate their curricula, squeezing 14 weeks of content into 13 weeks of class. As the weather changes once again, from flurries to forecasts around 80 degrees, Hadassah is uncertain of how her semester will go.
And then now they're saying it's going to be like 80 degrees later on in the week. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how to feel. I'm scared, to be honest, because that's really weird.
For WMUC News, I'm Jamie Donahue.
Thanks, Jamie. Turning to campus, WMUC News' Sophia Parkins shares students' post-grad concerns amidst the Trump administration's crackdown on higher education.
In the fall of 2025, President Donald Trump cracked down on higher education through his Big Beautiful Bill, which included new limits on student loans and redefining professional degrees. I took to the hallways of the University of Maryland to see if students' post-grad plans were swayed by the administration's decisions. Isabella Magama, a senior environmental science and technology major, said she did not consider money when choosing her major, and that the decision came purely out of passion for science and the environment. Years later, things have changed.
Really scared because I know that my career is like super competitive and you have to have getting an internship is super hard and you have to have experience somehow, and also just the positions that are usually open for post undergrad is like really not great paying.
For electrical engineering major Iman Luis Muay, she expressed a calmer outlook on post-grad plans while acknowledging that her major plays a huge part in her content.
Right now, with the way society is moving, we're definitely going towards software and hardware and tech overall. So I feel like my job security, while it might be a little bit affected, it's not super bad. A professional degree is going to be a lot harder for people within the humanities majors to actually pursue careers within their fields professionally and actually get paid well for those jobs. And with AI, of course.
Awesome. And then Milani Ford, a journalism major, also believes that major plays a part in post-grad job opportunities, especially even considering public health as an alternative.
I was thinking about switching my major. I'm not too confident that I'm going to get a job. I'm very nervous about the job market with journalism.
Overall, students agree that with added stress from the Trump administration's revisions on higher education, major definitely plays a part in post-grad prospects. Mwai summed up the difference in a simple statement.
But I feel like the most impacted would definitely be the humanities majors. I feel like STEM majors we can pull through. It's going to be...
For WMUC News, I'm Sophia Parkins.
In the organization. The team dealt Nick Dowd to the Vegas Golden Knights, earning a second-round pick for its former fourth-line center. Dowd played 8 years for Washington and was the fourth longest-tenured Capital on the roster. The next day, Washington traded John Carlson to the Anaheim Ducks for a first- and third-round pick, saying goodbye to a player who spent 17 years in D.C. and is the franchise's all-time leader in points for a defenseman. Currently on the outside looking in for the playoffs, the Capitals seem poised to tank for the rest of 2026 in an effort to earn a higher draft spot.
Now it's time for the Terps Sports Recap. The number 14-ranked men's lacrosse team finally got back into the win column Friday, beating Delaware 13-8 on the road. The Terps had a lost 3 straight games against top 15 opponents, but got back on track in a get-right game against 1-win Blue Hens. Graduate students Chris Lyons scored 4 times against Delaware, tying his single game high for 2026. Now looking to build momentum, the Terps will host number 17, Virginia, on Saturday.
The number 3-ranked women's lacrosse team stayed unbeaten in 2026, knocking off James Madison 13-6 on Saturday. Notre Dame transfer Kristen Shanahan scored 6 goals against the Dukes, her highest single game total as a Terp. The win pushes coach Kathy Reese's team to a 7-0 start in a year where UMD has national title aspirations. Maryland will play its first conference game of the season next week, traveling to Oregon on Saturday for a matchup with the Ducks.
The men's basketball team dropped its final 2 games of the regular season, getting smoked at Wisconsin on Wednesday before a valiant effort against number 11 Illinois at home Sunday. The Terps lost their senior day matchup against the Fighting Illini by just 6 points, thanks in large part to a 30-point effort from redshirt freshman Andre Mills. Despite finishing 17th in the Big Ten, every team on the men's side gets an automatic bid into the Big Ten tournament. Maryland will have to win 6 games in 6 days if it wants a spot in March Madness. The first of those 6 games comes Tuesday when UMD plays 16th place Oregon.
The number 14th ranked women's basketball team lost its opening game of the Big Ten tournament, losing 73-68 against Oregon on Thursday. The early exit slightly derails head coach Brenda Freeze's NCAA plans, as the Terps dropped from a projected 3 seed to a projected 5 seed in the NCAA bracket, meaning Maryland likely needs to take a tougher road in March Madness. That said, UMD will truly find out its fate when the NCAA releases its bracket on Sunday. The first round begins play March 19th, meaning that's the next possible day Maryland could play.
The Terps baseball team earned 3 out of 4 possible wins last week, beating Delaware on the road Wednesday before taking 2 out of the 3 against Troy and Alabama over the weekend. UMD brought the offense in the series finale against Troy, hitting 4 home runs. 2 of them came from Ryan Costello, his 8th and 9th long balls of 2026. The redshirt freshman and Maryland's leading home run hitter to start the season, currently 5 ahead of second place Ryland Stockton, up to a 10-5 record following the good week. The Terps play their first top 25 team of the season when they travel to Morgantown to play number 23 West Virginia on Tuesday.
The softball team lost 2 of 3 in its first conference series of 2026. Dropping a pair of games at home against Rutgers over the weekend. The game on Friday, a 6-5 loss to Maryland, went 12 innings, the longest game the team has played since joining the Big Ten in 2014. The lone win of the weekend came Saturday, where pitchers Caitlin Malinsky and Aubrey Wurst combined to throw 7 innings of 1-run ball. Now sitting at exactly .500 on the season, Maryland hosts Delaware on Tuesday before traveling to Washington for a series against the number 22-ranked Huskies. That concludes the Terp Sports Recap.
And that's it for your weekly roundup. I'm Sam Burns.
And I'm Danny Chungafung. You're listening to WMUC 90.5, where college radio is good radio. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WMUC Radio News and like us on Facebook. This show was directed by Elizabeth Polo, produced by Alex Taylor, Alicia Colgrove, Ryan J. Ross, Emma Levine, and our senior producer, Rianne Evans. Contributors to this week's show include Kate Heiderman, Jamie Donahue, Sophia Parkins, and our lead sports writer, Andy Parr.
They were strolling in the gloaming where the roses were in bloom. His soldier and his sweetheart, brave and true. And their hearts were filled with sorrow, for their thoughts were of tomorrow, as she pinned a rose upon his coat of blue. Do not ask me, love, to linger, for you know not what to say. For duty calls your sweetheart's name. And your heart need not be sighing. If I be among the dying, I'll be with you when the roses bloom again. When the roses bloom again, beside the river, the mockingbird has song its sweet refrain. In the days of auld lang syne, I'll be with you, sweetheart mine. I'll be with you when the roses bloom again. Soft and low, this soldier who had fallen in the fray. I am dying, and I know I have to go. And I want to tell you before I pass away. There's a far and distant river where the roses are in bloom. And sweetheart, who is waiting there for me? And it's there I pray you take me. I've been faithful, don't forsake me. I'll be with her when the roses.
We should look out further. I guess it wouldn't hurt us. We don't have to be around all these coffee shops. Now we got that percolator. Never made a latte greater. I'm saving $23 a week. Drive to a house in Preston. We see police arresting a man with his hand in a bag. How's that for first impressions? This place seems depressing. It's a Californian bungalow in a cul-de-sac. Parking, or a lot of room for storage if you've just got one. And it's going pretty cheap, you say. Well, it's a deceased estate. Aren't the pressed metal ceilings great? Then I see the handrail in the shower, a collection of those canisters. Coffee, tea and flour, and a photo of a young man in a van in Vietnam. And I can't think of floorboards anymore, whether the front room faces south or north. And I wonder what she bought it for.
start rebuilding. If you've got a spare half a million, you could knock it down and start rebuilding. If you've got a spare half a million, you could knock it down and start rebuilding. If you've got a spare half a million, you could knock it down and start rebuilding.
Halo light was humble, our heather died, but tomorrow out our roses. Nine hands high, little forest, Jenny White, did you tell the horses? Willow walls entwine you, your mother called. We spoke for 7 hours. I found the hole you climbed through, but it's too small to follow with the flowers. But all our love remains, so why do we feel sorrow? Departed, our bodies left alone. All our love will stay to live again tomorrow. At dawn, reminded of secret songs by the warbler and the robin. I thought I heard you humming in broken tones through the curtain. Faces form on our ceiling, a summer storm. Little arrows cross my chest. The sparrows mourn your leaving. The silent rises in their breath. All our love remains. So why do we feel sorrow? our bodies left alone.
Lens that I'm dressed, got a dandelion scent that drifts with her. She rounds the door. Saw a photograph, if not from 8 and 10 years back, of a birthday cake with lit up 24. And I miss times I drank, cause I'd never overthink, and I never gave in to this lore. You ain't Jesus Christ, cause you don't think twice Sunday when you pass the liquor store. Well, time changes all you'll see. Did you become what your mama wanted you to be? And are you strong enough to stay away from family, Gene? Cause Dan's denim was a stubborn thing. Dan's denim was a stubborn thing. Well, I recall a letter that she sent to me on base when I was out playing Patriot. She said she was leaving the house, headed out, and finally had the nerve for facing her. The jeans that her daddy left were working in vintage, and Proctor's daddy did the same. He said I could change my suit and tie, pray all night to Jesus Christ, but he'd belt my ass if I changed my name. Cause time changes all you'll see. Did she become what her daddy wanted her to be? Was she strong enough to stay away from family, Gene? Cause sometimes denim is an ugly thing. Well, sometimes denim is an ugly thing. Well, Dan's denim dress has got a dandelion scent. That dress with her, she rounds the door. Cleaned out the closet, found some closure when I threw those old blue jeans on the floor. I cleaned out the closet, found some closure when I threw those old blue jeans on the floor. Cleaned out the closet, found some closure when I threw those old blue jeans.
Hello, it is 5:33 and you're listening to WMUC FM College Park Radio. That was Deanne's Denim off of Zach Bryan's newest album with Heaven on Top. I'm WMUC news producer Carrie alongside Kira. This week, we'll be giving you coverage on some celebs and their edge. So, Marvel's most recent Spider-Man, Tom Holland, and Emmy-winning Disney star, Zendaya, got engaged in December 2024. Rumors of their relationship began a decade ago and was officially confirmed in 2021. They've reported to the press multiple times that they prefer to keep their relationship private, but that is surely not something paparazzi adhere to.
The two have multiple filming commitments on their radar right now, so fans are not focused on their marriage until Zendaya's stylist mentioned it. On the red carpet at the Actor Awards, Law Roach told the public that they, quote-unquote, missed it, and the two had already gotten married in Lake Como, Italy. After being swarmed by the press, the two shared their views on the situation. Zendaya said that, quote, loving someone is a sacred thing and to be enjoyed amongst the two people that love each other, end quote. Holland later added on to this, saying, quote, a moment that you think is between two people is now shared with the entire world, end quote. Since then, AI images of their wedding have been posted that many have fallen for. Comments have been made about the realism of the images, however, all have been confirmed fake because the wedding was entirely private. So, Kira, do you think celebrities have an obligation to share their personal life with fans, and should they?
I would say I don't think they have an obligation to. However, as someone who is obsessed with celebrities and their drama and everything going on in their lives, I do really love when celebrities choose to be open about it. But at the same time, I'm such huge fans of celebrities that keep their lives private, like Zendaya and Tom Holland, like Harry Styles, where it's like, I don't really think that if they're like truly talented and like good people and whatever, then I don't think that them keeping those things private is gonna do anything to hurt their fame.
I agree. I definitely don't think it should be held against them if they're choosing to keep it more private. I know if I was a celebrity, I would for sure want my relationship private. But I also don't think they can get too bothered by it because they are both very, very well-known A-list celebrities who have been together for 10 years now. So, I mean, I think their comments are totally valid. They're both regular humans at the end of the day, not just celebrities. But they shouldn't be too surprised that people are disappointed because people have been following the relationship for so long.
No, exactly. Like, I will say, like you were saying, at the end of the day, like, yes, they are humans and deserve that respect, but they are people who are in the public eye, and so therefore they can't really get confused or upset when people want to know what's going on in their lives.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. And then another question. How do you think AI could affect celebrities specifically?
Well, I feel like celebrities are already prone to so many rumors and gossip, and I know there are plenty of things that I've heard about celebrities that I believed and thought weren't true. And now with this like AI coming into it and being able to generate images and things like that, it makes these rumors a lot easier to like come up and be plausible because like at the end of the day, if you're showing me a picture of something and it looks real, then like I'm probably gonna believe it. However, none of the AI wedding photos got me. I was able to tell.
Yeah, exactly. It honestly concerns me how much I like mistake AI for real content, especially because so often in my classes here, I'm like analyzing things that are AI, and I should know the difference. So I just think to myself, like, if I can't tell, then what are people in other fields or other ages thinking when they see AI, and how is that going to change people's perception of media and news?
I know, and some of these, like, videos and pictures that people are making, like, nowadays, like, I feel like it used to be so much easier to tell, like, even in the past couple months, it used to be so much easier to tell when things were fake, and now people can literally doctor, like, any kind of photo, video to exactly what they wanted to show, which is just insane.
Yeah, it's wild. It's very concerning, but definitely all those wedding photos were 100% fake. But now it's time for a quick music break. Here is Telescope by Cage the Elephant.
In a far and distant galaxy, inside my telescope I see a pair of eyes peer back at me. He walks and talks and looks like me, sits around inside his house. From room to room he moves about, fills his life with pointless things and wonders how it all turns out.
Save to say that I don't think doors and never leaves. Desperately searching for signs, too terrified to find a thing. He battens all the hatches down and wonders why he hears no sounds. Frantically searching his dreams, he wonders what it's all about.
All right, now let's get into Timothée Chalamet's ballet and opera backlash. Actor Timothée Chalamet is facing backlash for some comments he made about ballet and opera. The Oscar nominee claimed that no one cares about those art forms in a town hall hosted by CNN and Variety while speaking to fellow actor Matthew McConaughey. His full quote reads, "I don't want to be working in ballet or opera. Things where it's like, hey, keep this thing alive even though no one cares about this anymore. All respect to the ballet and opera people out there. Damn, I just took shots for no reason." End quote. Multiple people and organizations within the opera and ballet world spoke out about Chalamet's comments. The Royal Ballet and Opera released a statement to The Hollywood Reporter sharing ballet and opera have, quote, continually informed, inspired, and elevated other art forms, end quote. New York City Ballet principal dancer Megan Fairchild also clapped back at the actor in an Instagram video, saying ballet and opera aren't niche hobbies people opt out of for fame. The Royal Ballet and Opera in the UK took a different approach, offering Chalamet a seat in their audience. He has also received lots of trolling comments on Instagram after being photographed wearing a New York City Ballet hat in January. All right, Carrie, so my first question is for you. What do you sort of think about his comments?
I didn't know about this at all, so that was a really entertaining listen, first of all. But I think that's, I don't know, a little bit close-minded to say, especially since he is a celebrity doing different kinds of art. He's an actor. Is it just that? I do not know Timothée Chalamet well. Okay, so he sings sometimes as well. So I think it's kind of inconsiderate to take two other forms of art and completely just disregard them. I mean, I don't know much about ballet or opera, but I wouldn't say that, you know, they're useless or no one cares about them. I mean, if there was a music genre that I didn't like or didn't listen to, I definitely wouldn't say that no one likes it, because I don't know. I think that's a little bit close-minded.
No, I definitely agree. I feel like in general it was pretty tone deaf, and like, while I don't think he meant it to come across that way, when you're a celebrity and speaking at big events like this, you have to be a little bit more aware of what you're gonna say and how it could come off to people. Like, I don't think he was necessarily saying like, nobody go watch ballet and opera, I hate it, it's terrible. But I do understand where like, it's like they do seem to be a little bit more old-fashioned, like not as mainstream, which like doesn't mean that they aren't making tons of money still and very successful. So it just wasn't something he should have said. So my next question for you is, are you a Timothée Chalamet fan? And if or if not, did these comments have anything to do with like tweaking that?
So I am actually, I don't want to say I'm not a Timothée Chalamet fan. I have nothing against Timothée Chalamet. However, I think there's a group of, I will say, middle-aged white men that a lot of people are very big fans of. And he is just someone that has never really, I don't know, striked me. I've never watched one of Timothée Chalamet's recent movies. I just found out moments ago that Timothée Chalamet was in Interstellar, and I love that movie, so I don't know how I didn't know that. But these comments don't make me view him any differently. I think, again, like we were just saying, you have to be flawlessly media trained as a celebrity, because as someone who does not keep up with him, does not know him well, I'm taking these out of context and I am looking at them negatively, but they're not comments that he should be getting extreme hate and backlash for, and definitely not canceled.
No, I agree. As someone who, like, I used to be, like, I would say when I was younger, a really big fan of him. Now I like him, and, like, I tend to keep up with his movies, and I do think he is talented. But, yeah, at the end of the day, when you're a celebrity, you just gotta be a little bit more media trained and know what's gonna piss people off. All right, now we're gonna go to another music break. Here's Pop from Harry Styles' new album, Kiss All the Time, Disco Occasionally.
Daytime, mainline, no more rolling papers, catching stray dogs, try but you can't tame them, it's just me.
All right, now it is time for our weekly Drop the Pop pop quiz. So here is your pop quiz question. This might just be like a take a guess type of thing because I didn't know this. How many streams did Harry Styles' most recent album get in one day?
Wow. I literally have no idea, but I'm going to go with a billion. Because that's what I think it deserves. Whether that's an overshoot or an undershoot, I don't know.
I was about to say that. It definitely deserves that. However, it reached 63.05 million first day global Spotify streams.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to that a billion soon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we're probably already close, and it's only been, I think, 3 days. That is all for this week. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kira.
Thank you all so much for listening. Make sure to tune into WMUC News every Monday at 5 p.m. and Drop the Pop at 5:30 p.m. on 90.5 FM or visit WMUCFM at wmuc.umd.edu. We are leaving you today with Self Control by Frank Ocean. Until then, this has been
Drop the Pop.
About your summer last night, ooh, yeah. About your summer last night.
Ain't give you no play, Could I make it shy last night? Could I make it shy on the last night?
Last night.
Could we make it in? Do we have time?
I'll be the boyfriend in your wet dreams tonight. Noses on a rail. You cut your hair, but you used to live a blinded life. Wish I was there, wish we'd grown up on the same advice. And our time was right.
Keep a place for me. Someone coming, spitting.
But then remember